All right, let's continue our discussion, Courage to Conquer. We'll continue that again this evening. Today, I don't know what to title this. I have one or two titles for it. You will call it the Spirit of the Seed or the Spirit of Isaac or something, one of those things. I don't know which one to call it. All right, but let's take our text from the book of John chapter 12. We'll read a number of the scriptures and then we'll commence to explain the lesson for today. The book of John chapter 12. We'll start from verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Please notice that he was born for glory. It was time now to manifest the glory for which reason he was born. And he said to them, verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." He said, "He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, or desires to serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father, we honor him." Now, let me just add verse 27, just because I love that verse. It's not really the one I want to talk about. It said, "Now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour." Now, there's a reason why I read this. And because I said that we're talking about, of course, courage to conquer. And courage comes from sometimes, there are different ways by which it comes. One of the things is the amount of understanding you have concerning issues in life. The man of faith, I say all the time, is a man who takes the word of God, the knowledge of God that he has, as part of everyday reasoning. Do you understand my point? So when he reasons and he says he's doing something by faith, he's not doing it out of ignorance. He's not doing it because he just feels like he's being bold. He's doing it because the word of God that he knows is reality to him. That is, he has the common knowledge, but he now has something beyond that common knowledge, and that's what we call his faith. That is, if God says that the young lions, a time will come, they will suffer hunger and they will suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good. That's an important information for him to have so as to make decisions in life. If the Lord says to him, "Do not lay up treasures on the earth, because moths, all right, destroy and thieves do break in and steal." For him, it's an important thing he uses in making decisions. That will make somebody a person of faith. It doesn't mean that the fellow is reckless. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is that he knows what is there. Do you understand my point? But beyond that, he also knows something that other people don't understand is real information. You know, some people think that is just church. That's religion. That's part of... religion is not part of real life, all right? So on Sunday, you hear some things in church. But the man of faith, the woman of faith understands that which I heard on Sunday, that which I read in my Bible, is real information. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like the other day, I was talking with my wife, and you've heard me say this a lot of times. And that's the fact that I say I'm a very rich man, exceedingly rich. I know I didn't realize until sometime last year or 2 years ago how wealthy indeed I am. And you say what? I say because everything spiritual has literally, I mean it in literal terms, it has a financial monetary value. Are you getting my point? For example, all you need to do is go to a country like the United States or Western Europe, where a lot of people don't believe in God, but they have a lot of psychiatric problems. And if you know the amount of money they invest in talking to the psychiatrist, so let's assume the man paid $100,000 to get him peace of mind. You know that's $100,000 that I don't have to spend. And that is credited to the account of my wealth. You get what I'm saying? So peace of mind actually is worth millions of US dollars. That's a matter of fact. When people are planning for their tomorrow, all right? So that's what my wife and I were discussing the other day. I said that I wasn't bragging on my faith, but I said it appears to me I'm actually walking by faith. That's what I said. that appears to me like I'm actually walking by faith. Because a lot of times I do things, it is not because I don't understand that there's a future. I know the children will grow up, they will have to go to good schools. I know they will have to, those things are going to cost money, all right? But I am absolutely certain about the provisions made by God, which he has described in his word, that I'm not worried about it. So somebody can have, maybe you dash two people, that's me and somebody else, 10 million naira each. What we do is a reflection of the amount of wealth we have laid up for our tomorrows. So I know what I will do. I am not going to put any one of it down because of tomorrow. Yeah, I'm not going into details about that. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I know there are important things for me to do today. I don't mean that I'll be spendthrift and just waste the money and say, let us eat and drink for tomorrow we die. I am aware we ain't die tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? I am aware that there will be issues to take care of tomorrow. But I just know that if I look at the matters of today, I will see what I am supposed to do. Therefore, a lot of people will say, because if I'm now spending money, all right, they will think that this man must have 100 million for him to be spending 10 like this. Therefore, in reality, you give two of us 10 million naira each, I have 110 million. Do you understand? Why? Because of the faith and the confidence I have concerning tomorrow. And that is not wishful thinking. That's the issue. Some think it is wishful thinking. No, it's not wishful thinking. These are matters of reality. Indeed, God has planned my tomorrow, and I have no doubt about it. Indeed, I know. Listen, there are people who are laboring, and that's in the scriptures, and they are gathering today, which God says he will deliver that thing to me in due season if I will just maintain walking with him by faith. And I'm experiencing things like that. Are you getting my point? Therefore, I take my rest. I relax. I make sure that I step, like the Bible says, into his rest. That is what faith is. Please, I'm trying to bring out something here. We're talking about courage to conquer. Courage, therefore, comes also from that kind of knowledge. Are you getting my point? For example, I am David faced Goliath. And he faced Goliath because of the understanding he had about the reality of the God of Israel. Are you getting my point? It did not cross his mind that Goliath might peradventure kill him. Are you getting what I'm saying? It didn't cross his mind. So you see, the boldness with which he faced Goliath, that's what I'm saying, came from the understanding he has about God and in the word of God. Now, why am I saying all of these things? That's what we are doing when we're talking about courage to conquer. That Christians are not those who are just reckless. Do you follow me? We have understanding. We have knowledge. We know things that a lot of people don't know. That's why we behave the way we are behaving. You understand that point? For example, I remember the story I tell all the time, John Gillick, who walked out from being a multimillionaire and decided to go into missions in South Africa around the turn of the century. You will understand that it's not that 1800s into 1900s. You understand that he's not a foolish man. But there was a fire burning in his soul. Are you getting my point? The power he was carrying was real to him. He understood that the people needed this life, all right, that's found only in Christ Jesus. Therefore, he was willing to sell literally all that he had so that he might go and execute the reason why he was born. He wasn't a foolish man. He was not a stupid man. It's just that the man had understanding and he had knowledge. Please bear that in mind. You understand what I'm reading this one? Why I'm explaining that? You know, God didn't create us just to come and rest and relax. Are you getting my point? There is work to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even when he created the garden, the impression we had before was that man, at least as a child, I had that impression, that the reason why we have to get up and go every day is because Adam fell. You understand what I'm saying? If he didn't fall, we'll have just woken up in the morning, reached for the closest tree, and started eating fruits. Now, listen to me. That is not true. That is not true. Fall or no fall, there was work to do. Are you getting my point? Now, that's a matter of fact. Fall or no fall, there was what? Work to do. There were things that had to be done. So work was not, in fact, Jesus said it himself, my father works until now. Therefore, I also labor. Are you getting my point? So there are things to do in Christianity. And one of the things we are saying is that the Bible says that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And we understand very clearly that he said those who are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And that's when he had talked about the fact that the kings gave their authority to the beasts. What are we saying by that? That is, in working with God, we are kings, all right, and priests with him also. And what we are doing is executing judgment and waging war on the behalf of the Lamb. So when he said the Lamb will overcome them because he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings, what he was saying is that he has lords that are doing battle for him and he has kings that are doing battle for him. We have established that the commandment is be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion, and that it goes in that order. And that Jesus, contrary to what I learned as a child about the rapture, that the tribulation is going to become so severe, and then one day, Jesus said, before they kill all my people, I bet, let me go and grab whoever is still surviving, and let us go back. And then that's what we call the rapture. I don't believe it anymore. The reason why I don't believe it is because he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for thy feet. I believe very strongly, and that's a matter of fact, that by the time Jesus is returning to the earth, Boko Haram will be history. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, all this noise from the Middle East will be history. It will be history. And please listen to it. It is a matter of fact. I heard this testimony, this prophecy long ago, that the Lord said to one African prophet, all right? He said that there are three things he's bringing to end rapidly on the earth. And those three things stand as a major hindrance to the advancement of the gospel. And the first one he said was communism. Communism has gone down. In case you don't know, the one that's next in line is Boko Haram. Are you getting what I'm saying? You understand what I mean by that? That is what is next in line. Do you follow me? Now, we know that as a matter of fact, Christ Jesus is the triumphant king. Are you getting my point? He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. That's a matter of fact. That is absolutely a matter of fact. So in executing this judgment with the Lord, in working with him, I said we will need to walk with boldness. We need to walk with courage. He said, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. In fact, along the line, I really want to get into talking about some practical things, maybe in separate sessions, apart from these are regular meetings, so that believers will understand that the time has come, not none of the times, I believe, for a lot of us here, the time has come, really, to take giant steps, all right, so that we can step into what God actually prepared for us to step into. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. God said to the children of Israel again and again, listen, I have given you the land of, Sihon, king of, anyway, you know those I'm talking about. And I said, begin to contend with him in battle. You get my point? Because I have given it to you, you're not going to sit down there on one side of Jordan and believe that, all right, don't worry, that land is our own. He said, if the land is yours, if you really believe it's yours, it's time for you to get up and begin to contend in battle. And that's why we are talking about what? Courage. That is when you need courage. That's when your heart needs to be bold. And we are supplying the information, all right, that we need so that we will not lose heart in the time of battle. Because even though you have won, listen, you know the interesting part? I read E.W. Kenyon long ago. He said that the way God designed that Israel should walk, when they will go to battle, not one person was supposed to die. There is a particular account, I don't have it off here now, I don't have time to look for it, in which they went to battle, they came back, numbered everybody, and the Bible said in clean terms, not one person was missing. I said, my God. So Brother Kenyon was not wrong. He knew what he was saying. Now, even though that was supposed to be the deal, it was still supposed to be what? Battle. And in fact, God had to speak to Joshua that he must be courageous. You understand my point? He said to him, you have to be bold. You have to be courageous. You have to lead the people with boldness and with courage. Don't worry. I am with you. You are getting what I'm trying to say? So in life, that's just the way it is. Like last time I was explaining the fact that there are times in life we will stumble. I said that. Remember, that's what we discussed last time. That why did Uzzah die? I'm not going to go over that again. But that the most important thing in life is not that we make mistakes. The most important thing is that we learn the lessons, all right, that God wants to teach us each time we make an error. If you repent properly, that the power of mercy is that it will appear as if it was necessary that you made that mistake for you to reach this place that you have reached in life. And that's a matter of fact. You will make mistakes. You will do things wrong. Do you understand my point? And that God in his kindness, remember what I said before about blessing, that the first sign of the blessing of God is what? Correction. That is, God has to rearrange you. That if God pronounces a blessing upon you, he will first, listen to me, it's a matter of fact, he will first remove the wrong character that is not in keeping with that blessing. That's just the way it is. So one of the first things you will realize as a manifestation of divine blessing in your life is that God starts changing you. You used to get angry a lot before. And God said, that anger is not entering into the promised land. Are you getting my point? And listen, the easiest way, like I said, is instruction. You will go through experiences if you don't listen to instruction easily. But God is not angry. He's not too angry. You understand what I'm saying? He's not. But he must print that message into your heart that this degree of anger, my brother, does not enter into the promised land. All right? Now, the Lord will take us through those things. And we said that the only problem is when people refuse to acknowledge their iniquities. And when Samuel said to Saul that because you have rejected the word of the Lord, therefore he has rejected you from being king, that the real word that he rejected, which made Samuel utter that word, which was the reason why he was totally rejected from being king, was not that he didn't do what he was told the first time. But that when he brought the word of correction, he said no. He stubbornly stood there and was giving excuses. I've seen people tell me, I'm like this because, in our family when we're young, our parents used to behave like this. And Americans are very good at the psychologists. They've confused the whole world. To tell you that it's not your fault. You were abused as a child. It's not your fault. It's your gene. I've seen them analyze and tell people that the reason why you're an alcoholic is that you have a gene that's difficult to satisfy. Not a joke. The day I saw it on TV, I said, God, I thank you that I know Jesus Christ so that I will not believe this kind of lie. A famous actor, forgotten his name now, can still see the face. He was arrested for drunk driving. And it turned out when they checked, the guy was really an alcoholic. He didn't know it. So, of course, he was in a program trying to get his life back. And he was explaining on Larry King the problem he has, that they explained to him that he has this genetic abnormality that has to do with his satiety center. And therefore, he doesn't get satisfied easily. So that's why people like him push and drink more and more alcohol until they start drowning their lives and their destinies and the whole society in alcohol because they have a genetic problem. So it's not my fault. It's my father that gave me a gene that's not in order. Removing responsibility from people. Are you getting my point? But God said, only acknowledge your iniquity. Say, Lord, I'm an alcoholic because I'm very stupid. I'm an alcoholic because I love to drink. I'm an alcoholic because I'm a sinner. This is the effect of an evil spirit. Simple. And then you'll be cured. And we said Uzzah was a sign of people that are not willing to do that. So when God tried to correct David, Uzzah died. Are you getting my point? Now, let's just go on from there. I'm just trying to put everything in line. The next thing I said we'll talk about is this principle. That's this John chapter 12, verse 24 here. He said, in 23, the Lord said, the time has come, all right, for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, we're talking about courage to conquer. We must have this information in our minds. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it abides by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, verse 25 is just as equally important in understanding what we're talking about as verse 24. He who loves his life. Now, listen to this. I want to amplify that one in the New Testament, Pastor Banky's translation, all right? Pastor Banky's amplification, all right? He who loves his life, thinking that that is the only one that is available, not understanding that the loss of this one actually is making a way for a greater one to come. He who thinks that all he can see is all there is to life, and therefore grabs onto it totally, loses it. Are you getting my point? But he who hates his life, because he understands that he hates now, not as if he wants to injure himself, but that in light of the greater thing that he has seen. Are you getting my point? Like Paul said, our temporal affliction, they are light, he said, but they are working for us a far, how does he say it again? Is exceeding and is eternal weight of glory. He said, why we look at the things that are not seen? For the things that are seen are temporal. The ones that are not seen are eternal. That's what I'm trying to explain. I don't know, it just got jumbled in my head. Now, I'm trying to amplify this, my particular verse. Therefore, because of that understanding, our attachment to the present, okay, it looks like we hate it. Our attachment to that which we can see, in the light of that which we cannot physically see, all right, it makes us look as if we are not serious about this current one. And it says we are the ones Those with that kind of attitude are the ones that will preserve their lives. Let me quote something somebody said some time ago. That he said, this is how God does things. That God first blesses you. Now, in fact, I heard T.D. Jakes say it. I heard another person preach it. That it read from the story of the Last Supper. That the Lord took bread. This is how he went. And then he blessed it. After he blessed it, what did he do? He broke it. And then he gave it. So this is how the stages of life are. This is what he said. Number one, there is a stage in which God takes you. Now listen to that. Follow me very closely. Because I'm trying to explain why you should have courage. Understanding will give you courage. He said there is a stage that in which God takes you. All right? You have given your life to Christ. There's a stage in which God takes you. You have repented of your former ways. There's a stage in which God takes you. You are forsaking the companies you used to keep before. You have not attached yourself to the word of God. On a Saturday evening like this, you're not there getting ready for a Saturday night party. You are here studying the word of God. That's the stage in which God takes you. He said the next stage is that God blesses you. Suddenly, you begin to see his abundance, his glory in your life. And then this is the next stage. A time comes in which God does what? He breaks you. Are you getting my point? Let's take the Lord Jesus Christ. After he was baptized, God took him. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then you saw his ministry, God blessed him. Are you getting that point? That's the way it goes. And then after God had blessed him, you saw the amount of glory in his ministry. He said, we beheld his glory. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten Son of God. Are you getting my point? The glory was beheld. But God couldn't give him beyond Israel. Please, you must understand this principle here. There's a limit to what you can reach in that first time of blessing. There is a limit. There is a limit. In fact, if you go back a few verses in this John chapter 12, you will see in verse 20, the Bible says that now there were certain Greeks amongst those who were going up to worship at the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. And Philip, the Bible says, came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and they told Jesus. And Jesus did not answer them, but suddenly realized that the time had come. Now, please get what I'm trying to explain. The Greeks were not allowed to see him. You don't get what I'm trying to say here. The Syrophoenician woman came. She began to talk. I think she was a Greek also. Yes. But she definitely wasn't a Jew. Say, please, my daughter is sick. And Jesus again did what? Did not answer her. He just totally ignored this woman. The woman was begging. Finally, Peter and Co say, Oga, we understand. You don't want to talk to her, she? I didn't send her away. He now called her so as to send her away. Is what he said, that's the story here. He said, listen, you, madam, let's understand this. You have children? Say yes. One of them is sick? Yes. You have dogs? Yes. Do you take your children's food and give to your dog? And the woman said, no. He said, but when they are eating, some fall from the table. Now the dog, they work. I have only come for the one that fell from the table. Ah! And like I told you before, some of you may not understand this. That was a discovery for the man, Jesus. And he said, oh, that is true. Okay, go. Your daughter is well. I didn't give you a bit of what I brought from Israel. But all the ones that dropped by the wayside, which they rejected, you can have it. You are getting what I'm saying? The next time Greeks gathered and began to network political party that they must see Jesus Christ, he said, then the time has come. Are you getting my point? That's how he discerned the time. He said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. That is, even though he was blessed, even though the ministry was rich, he couldn't reach anybody beyond Israel. So he said simply to the disciples, when he was sending them out, he told them where to go and warned them, don't go to the cities of Samaria. I have sent you only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The anointing he came with couldn't go beyond that territory, Israel. Even though the name was, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Everybody. Yet, for the first few years, he couldn't touch anybody outside Israel. The few people that got it, the centurion, the Syrophoenician woman, it was aggressive faith. In fact, for the centurion, the Jews had to intercede for him. Go and read it. For this woman, the disciples had to intercede for her. Go and read these stories. They had, listen, when he said this man is sick, and I even suspect that maybe the man that was healed was a Jew too. I don't know. I'm not saying that he was. You get my point? Because it was not the centurion that was healed, it was the servant. But remember, the elders had to explain to him, say, sir, please, you have to help us here. This man has been very, very nice to us. He's not a typical Roman centurion. The rest of them are aggressive, they are oppressive, you understand, they are wicked. But this one is so kind to us, he actually built us a synagogue. Based upon their intercession, she ministered to him. But then the Lord said, no, we can't continue like this. And that's what Isaiah described in Isaiah chapter 49. We can't continue like this. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. So next thing they did, they broke him. That's what we're talking about. First, he took him. He blessed him. There's a limitation to that blessing. So the next thing he did was what? To break him. And he himself, knowing this, when he saw that the whole world was now reaching for him, people were now coming from places beyond Israel. So he said to them, listen, the pressure has now come. We can't relax like this forever. Hey, even if you're a minister, listen to me clearly. The time will come, no matter how much you think this is how I want to do it, the pressure will come, and you will know that the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Glorification is not, oh, praise God, we just bought a new, you know, 747. No. Glorification starts with the breaking of that which they had already. Listen to me. When Jesus was being broken, the disciples scattered. Peter too denied him. You are not getting what I'm going to explain. Yes, he did. You know, the Lord was very calm about it. It was painful initially. He went to the cross, got the victory there, and to the garden, got the victory there. You are getting my point? And then he was calm. You will deny me three times. Peter said, no, not on your life. Just watch it. It didn't cock. He said, Peter, how far? Peter, I said, Peter, don't feel bad. He said, Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat. But I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail. Don't worry. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. He was very calm because he understood that this is the only way we can go beyond this territory, Israel. When he came back after the resurrection, he told them, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The same people he told earlier, don't even go into the house of the Samaritans. You are getting the principle. That is, the Lord did what? Broke him so that he could what? Give him. That is, not dash him something, but give him as a blessing to other people. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Listen, the first stage in your life, you will be comfortable. You understand? Maybe God sets you up in one small business. You can chop well, live in a nice house. But the Lord said, listen, this can only reach only you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we can't stop here. And you see the application as we go on, right, which is the reason why I'm explaining this. Because I'm talking about the spirit of the seed. I think that's the way I should put it to this message. There is a spirit in that seed. Are you getting what I'm saying? You could kill the flesh. You could destroy that flesh of Jesus Christ. But you could not kill his spirit. It is not possible. It was going to rise again. Now listen to me. Actually, when they go to the breaking process, what happens is that there is an amplification of the power of that spirit. The first man became a living soul, but the last man became what? A life-giving spirit. There is always an amplification after that breaking process. You look at Job. That was why, even though, listen, you couldn't kill the spirit of prosperity that Job has. Let me remind you again of what is called having treasure in heaven. Having treasure in heaven doesn't mean that when you get to heaven, you will see that, hey, all the banana that I gave as offering, they are now in my big refrigerator in heaven. Now I can be eating banana morning, afternoon, and night. Praise the Lord. You know, all the money I gave, look at them now. I have them in heaven. That's not what it means. Do you get my point? If you ask me right now, do you have money in the bank? Yes, I do. Do I have to go there to spend it? Of course not. This day and age, if I use my card, buy things online. You go to shops that have POS terminals. You use your card there. Where's the money? It's in the bank. I was telling you just on Tuesday. Are you getting me? That Switzerland is afraid. They don't want people to bring their toxic money to their country. They are doing things to what's the opposite of incentive? The disincentive, right? Uh-huh. As disincentives to investments in Switzerland right now. But people who are trying to keep their money in Switzerland, what are they trying to do? They want their money to be kept in a place where it is safe. Because Switzerland still remains one of the safest places on the earth to keep your money. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, it is still the earth. Are you getting my point? No matter how safe it is on the earth, it is still what? The earth. No matter how well you guard it on the earth, it is still on the earth. And moths can destroy, thieves can break in, and steal. But the point I want to bring from there is the fact that people are taking their money there. Why? Because they want it to be safe. Do they have to go to Switzerland to spend it? No. When they need it? No. In the same manner, having treasure in heaven doesn't mean you get to heaven before you enjoy it. It is a place where you keep substance. And don't ever forget this. I said to you before, money, wealth, things like that, they are physical coatings for spiritual substances. That's why I said, I was still preaching somewhere earlier today where I told you I went earlier. I explained to them that, listen, you cannot give money deliberately as an offering and say you are sowing a seed. You can't. You just can't. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because what enters into the realm of the spirit is what is behind that offering. That's a matter of fact. Are you getting me? So money is a coating, all right, for something that exists beyond the physical. Just by the way, for those who don't understand that. So if you want to give an offering, say, this offering is for my this. It's a selfish gift. Therefore, it doesn't have any spiritual substance. He that sows honor, God says, he that honors me, I will honor. He that shows mercy, we obtain mercy. Those are the spiritual substances that enter into the realm of the spirit. The cash itself doesn't. It's the motive behind what you are doing that actually enters into the realm of the spirit. But I'm talking about a spiritual substance. So when somebody has treasure in heaven, it can be quoted physically, all right, in different ways. And oftentimes as material resources. That is treasure in heaven. That's why Job, if you look at the story of Job, and look at the details of how spiritual things work. The man was extremely generous. He had a lot of treasure in heaven. And I make bold to say, that was why after his breaking process, that was what returned to him on the earth as double for everything that he lost. So the Lord said to his disciples, sell all that you have. Give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. I'm talking about the indestructibility of that spirit. Listen. Isaac, this is my story about Isaac. Isaac was a spirit. Isaac was the, how do I describe this now? Okay, let me explain this like this. Long ago, I read a story about a man who always wanted to drive a Ferrari. And finally, he made money. And he bought the Ferrari. And he said, this is my dream embodied in steel. Are you getting my point? This is not just a car. It's a dream. Are you getting my point? It's embodied in steel. And then, I remember the first Bible, there was one Bible I had, the Companion Bible, when it was delivered to me. I dreamt of it for a long time. I said, this is my dream, embodied in paper. And then when I married my wife, I said, this is my dream, embodied in flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, you understand what I'm talking about here. Now, in the same manner, Isaac was the faith of Abraham, embodied in flesh. Do you understand my point? And even though Isaac was going to die, Isaac could not die. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Even though, as far as God was concerned, Isaac was killed by Abraham, the Isaac that went back home with him was a resurrected Isaac. Are you following the point? The lesson is this. Sometimes I wrote in my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. There's a chapter, I think the last chapter, or the penultimate one. I said, sometimes Isaacs die. Now, what I mean is that we think that because Isaac, Abraham's son, didn't die, that every time God takes you through a trial like that, that Isaac physically will not die. But we miss the point. We miss the point. The fact is that Isaac died. Do you understand my point? The Lord had his reasons for making it play out the way he did. But Isaac died. And in life, following the same principle, you will find that many Isaacs in your life will die. But this is the point I'm making. The spirit of Isaac can never die. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, what is his spirit? I told you that Isaac was the faith of Abraham embodied in flesh. You will laugh a bit, but I want to use as an illustration. If a righteous young man invests the emotions of the spirit in a woman and she refuses, it will hurt him very seriously. You know that. But this is my counsel to you once again. Hallelujah. The spirit of Isaac cannot die. Every investment in that project that didn't work, that was invested in righteousness, will be reaped in the next project without any investment. Did you hear what I said? Because, you see, what we don't understand, we think, to be carnally minded means to think that these things are only physical things. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what it means to be carnally minded. We think they are only physical things. So we love our lives to the extent of losing it. But those who know spiritual things, they are said to be spiritually minded. They know that even though I invest in this company, I work in this company, I labored for this boss, and I did it as unto the Lord. The problem is a lot of times we don't do it as unto the Lord. We do it for eye service. We do it for rapid promotion. We do it for bonuses. We don't do it as unto the Lord. Listen to me. If you did it as unto the Lord, you can never lose. Let the man fire you without any benefit. Don't be angry. I don't know what I hear what I said. Don't be angry. The one you should be angry about and be sad about, angry with yourself and sad about your iniquity, not about the boss, is when you have done eye service and he did not pay you. You should be angry when they fire you. Not at them, but with yourself. You should be sad about your foolishness. That you have labored for this man. I remember one joke somebody told me once. It was not supposed to be a joke. It was supposed to be a real thing. Somebody said. A young man said that this was his passport to breakthrough. Listen to foolishness expressed. Are you getting my point? When a man is broadcasting his foolishness on FM, just listen to it. He said, he will go to the house of one big man. This guy had a BSc or getting a BSc in engineering. You go to the house of a director in Chevron or Shell and labor for a few years. He will be washing his car. He will maybe take a job as a man's driver. And just, or take a job as, a houseboy or something there. Now listen, that he will labor very hard for the man. Then one day the man will ask him, say, oh boy, now wow, how far? Are you not planning to go to school? Say, I've gone to school. What? I have a degree in engineering. Are you serious? You show the certificate. The man will just say, are you serious? Come to my office. We'll just give him a job. When I heard the story, I said, tell that guy he's an idiot. He doesn't have a brain. Broadcasting his foolishness on FM frequency. You know what I'm saying? Just talking nonsense. That is eye service. That is the exact opposite, actually, of laboring as unto the Lord. I am doing something so that this man will see it and he will reward me accordingly. If that young man is a believer, take this news to him. Dear God, I'll give you four things that can happen to the man. One, they will transfer the man to Oman and he'll have to leave you behind in Nigeria. Or since the man was destined to die anyway, he will die whether you are serving him or not. So one day he wakes up and he's dead. Or one day something go lost. They go say, now you tifam. And the man says, okay, maybe it's not even you. I don't want to take chances. He will pay you your gratuity and you're gone. Should I continue giving you the bad news? No, let's stop it there. That is the one that doesn't work. Are you getting my point? That is the one that is painful. That is the one which you have labored and labored. In a company, my wife had a boss that time when she was working in UBA. Everything you did for the man is an appraisal matter. One day my wife had to tell me, Oga, this appraisal threat, let me tell you something about it. My husband doesn't even like this work. I'm not planning to work here for a long time. I am working my work because I know how to work my work the way I'm supposed to work my work. You understand what I'm saying? Because everything the man did was to please people in higher quarters. He would tell me, look, you guys just try. They have promised me in Lagos that this is, I said, this is what they call carnality. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is what they call what? Carnality. You are doing things you want that fellow to repay you. That one has no spirit. Let me get back to my main message. That one doesn't have a spirit. It doesn't have the spirit of Isaac. It is like chasing after the wind. It is emptiness. Are you getting my point? Isaac, we said, was the embodiment of the faith of Abraham. Therefore, what we call Isaac is faith. It's when I walk in that company as unto the Lord. When I serve that same director, you understand? But because that's the job I have, and I do it with all my heart, not expecting anything directly from him beyond the fact that I should get my regular salary. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then when I labor like that as unto the Lord, even though the man were to die suddenly, it makes no difference. Even though the man was to get angry and sack everybody in this household, including me, it will make no difference. Under such circumstances, listen to me, you have lost nothing. It's a spiritual substance. It is called treasure where? In heaven. Wherever you go, are you getting me? It will return double to you. You serve consistently in the company, they don't promote you, don't worry. Don't join the unbelieving attitude. After all, is it my father's business? After all, how much are they paying me? After all, the MD, look at how much he spends on this. Look at what he gives us. After all, you know, then you wreck the treasure that you are supposed to be laying up in heaven. Are you getting my point? That's why Paul explained to us, anything we are doing, let's do it, all right, as unto the Lord. He said, because from the Lord comes your reward of the inheritance. I'm emphasizing the fact that the spirit of Isaac does not die. It can't. What I've been saying the last few moments, to let you know that some things have spirit, some don't. And we're describing the spirit of Isaac. Isaac was the embodiment for the faith of Abraham. And in life, many things are embodiments for your faith. You are serving the ministry. Maybe you are a training minister. It can be the embodiment for the fact that you truly believe that you are called to ministry. Are you getting my point? You're working in a company. You're working in a school. You're working for government. You're working in different places. That is the spirit with which you are working that we are calling Isaac. That the spirit of Isaac. Those things are just the Isaacs, the flesh of Isaac outside. And like I said, when God wants to lay that thing on the altar, don't be fooled by not reading the story of Abraham well. Sometimes they totally die. Last time I told you about a man who served in a big ministry in this nation. Professional, trained as a professional. Took the primest of the prime... first 12 years of his adult productive life and served and got kicked out with nothing. Natural human being will say, that is bad. That is wrong. That is unfair. That is right. You shouldn't do that to anybody. But if that was done to you, don't worry about it. If you have served the Lord for those 12 years, one day the King of England ordered that one archbishop should be executed by hanging. And before they put the noose around the man's neck, he said, if only I had served God as much as I served this king, I wouldn't be dying today. Of course, he had done everything to please the king. Then one day he did something that displeased the king. And then the king sent him to the gallows. And they killed him. And before he died, he said, if only I had served God, like I served this king, I won't be dying today. A lot of people are not serving God. Please, let me emphasize that. They are not. I told you some time ago, a big ministry in Nigeria again sacked a lot of pastors. Just sacked, you know. Tsunami, you know. Just tsunami the way a lot of people. And it was painful because this is a ministry where, as a pastor, your wife can't work. They take a secular job. So if you entered in as a pastor there and your wife was a bank manager, she would resign bank managing to come and be a pastor's wife. And they could post you from Enugu where you were tabernacled. You would just find yourself in Angola. You know what I'm saying? And it's the work of God. Anyway, let's make a long story short. The tsunami arose and swept and a lot of people were angry. And one of my friends said, why are they angry? What were they doing there in the first place? Now, it wasn't said they shouldn't have gone there. What he and I said is simple. Check, what were you doing? If you were serving God, you have just been liberated into your divine assignment. If indeed it was God you served, what is the cause of this anger? That why are you people angry, my friend was saying? That people were angry because they had schemed to rise in this institution. Do you get my point? They have seen glory. He said John the Baptist was a light burning, and you rejoice in his light for a season. Anytime light is burning, people want to go and join inside there. Are you getting my point? And enjoy that glory. And the ministry was, you know, light burning. People rushed in to come and enjoy the glory. And the man in charge of the light, when they said, no, you're not qualified, move, move, move. And people were going to court. As any man who truly was serving God has no business getting angry. And for your information, this principle is the same, even if you're in business. I pray that the church will get to a point where they will treat business as ministry. You walk in Zenith, the day before you make it to be manager, they sack you. Unless it was not God you were serving. Of course, most of us are not serving him anyway. So, we have... it makes sense. If you were serving God, your spirit will not even be able to be angry. Because most cases, before that day, a fire will have been burning in your soul. That the day they tell you, go, you will suddenly find the opportunity to go and explode that fire somewhere. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the spirit of Isaac. When people don't have a living spirit, that's when they are angry. They are bitter. But those who are serving the Lord, anywhere you transfer, they will be happy. Say that when I was far down the ladder, now, let me go the whole microphone. The church can be only 5 people. It makes no difference. I'm going to be the bishop of this church. Why am I describing this? So that you will have courage. You will have courage to survive a lost job. It makes no difference to you. It doesn't affect what you're going to get into in destiny. Most of the time, it's the opportunity for you to be given. You were in that job, you were blessed. When you didn't work out at the time you were supposed to work out, God broke you through that sacking process. Or they converted your bank from a fine name to a keystone. You know, those kind of funny. And one of those banks said that the stone is going to start rolling. Main street. You were alone in your home before. Now you're on the main street. And Molo has knocked you down. Listen to me. That's what I'm telling you. How to survive adversity. If indeed you have built the spirit of Isaac all those years, listen to me. When that Isaac will resurrect, the least it will do is give you the blessing of Job, double. Until you were fired, you were blessed. After you have been broken by that firing, you're no longer blessed, you're blessed to be a blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Before they had to interview you, periodically you'll be interviewed for promotion. You go for assessment. Now you are the one interviewing people. What can you do for us? How much do you want us to pay you? Are you getting my point? You're no longer blessed now. You have been broken and you are now being given. You are getting the principle. Listen, after a few months, you know before, the only check you used to sign was to withdraw money for your wife and your children. Then when you have been given, you know, took you, blessed you, broke you, and then gave you. When you have been given, at the beginning, at the end of the month, you start signing checks. As you are signing, that's school fees for many families, food for many families, clothing for many families. Are you getting my point? Before it was only your own, but now, accountant will stand, okay, sir, you haven't signed this. You are signing, you know, you are paying off contractors, you are paying suppliers. Before you were broken, all you ever did was sign your own check to consume your own money. Please don't forget what I'm talking about today. The spirit of Isaac, the spirit of the seed. While it lives, it abides alone. But when it dies, it bears forth much fruit. Are you getting my point? What actually dies is the outside coating. That's what I'm talking about, courage. There are times things die like that. There are times you kill it. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Jesus said, nobody took my life from me. I laid it down by myself. And for that reason, I have the power to take it up again. Listen, there are times, because of understanding, you will walk out of what seemed to be beautiful. Listen, no matter how nice that guy has been to you, if he's not a believer, walk out. I'm talking to young women. Did you hear what I said? You cannot live your life bound in covenant relationship with somebody that has no faith in God like you do. Listen to me. As a matter of fact, the death of the flesh can be painful. Yes, that's a matter of fact. There are jobs that, look, you say if you don't look calm, you don't get jammed. The Holy Spirit has opened your eyes. You know there's no godly future here. But the problem is what? Money. If you have served and worked all these years in faithfulness, and you have built the spirit of Isaac, listen to me, it can never die. It can't. The flesh may die, but the spirit, no. When it gets to the next place, it will suddenly begin to germinate. A young man called us once, and he said he needed to ask me a question. He's been a pastor in one big church. He now felt of God to leave this big church and go and commence the ministry. He didn't want to pastor again. Just wanted to maybe like go around teaching, doing crusades, stuff like that. And his father told him that nobody leaves this church and succeeds. You know, I hate to be pastor, but that his father. Yes, that's confusion. So when they told me, I said, that's all. Just then that all I said you should tell him is that this was the same denomination in which this man used to be a pastor. I don't want to bore you. I would have picked a few other names. People that, and you see, it doesn't mean one church is bad. Is that what I'm saying? No, now. One person can't preach this gospel to the whole world. If you like, my brethren want to have one branch every 5 minutes. Between one branch and the next branch, there will be a mosque. Somebody else has to go to the mosque. We all have to cooperate. Listen, I dare to say it. The work Anglicans are doing in around this area, I don't know any Pentecostal church that's doing it. I mean it though. I don't mean that's a joke. I have been around the bit. No, say I'll be a preacher. Nobody can do it alone. Nobody. I've been around. I don't know about in Lagos. I don't know about Kano. I don't know about Port Harcourt. But if you are counting Enugu, Anambra, this environment where me I did, I want to see the Pentecostal who can beat his chest that is doing what those people are doing. One day, a friend of mine, no, yesterday, one brother saw me in church and said, I was in Onitsha. I saw this particular man. When I talked with him, he said, you must know Pastor Banky the way you are talking. So the guy, he laughed, so he came and told me, he said, so person said, I must know you. I said, oh, he's my man. He said, I spoke with him. He does not sound like an Anglican reverend, but he's an Anglican reverend. I now told him the history of the man. He said, hey, no wonder. What I'm trying to say is that not one person can do everything. So when that young man says, father said, nobody leave this congregation and succeed. I just gave him the name of one person who did. And in the whole of the church, apart from the GO, nobody has a name as big as him. Name one now. But people say, no. Listen, the Bible says, unless that seed dies, in him, that shelter, that covering, because the seed is a covering for that spirit. That one needs to be broken. Sometimes the place where we are hiding is the reason why we will never manifest. Yes? You have a papa over your head that's always prophesying for you every morning. It's the reason why you won't prophesy for anybody. And you're enjoying it. And God says, this is the reason why this boy will not prophesy for anybody. Then one day, I was listening to Andrew Womack. I was talking about relationships. That sometimes God will just scatter better relationship. You won't understand. Are you getting my point? Listen, we don't have time to go do it. You know, we Christians, we preach recovery. Amen? We preach recovery. Amen?
Amen?
That is, whatever you have lost, you will recover. I want you to bear this one in mind today. We recover spirit, not flesh. If the seed is dead, we don't want it back. We want the fruit that came from the release of the spirit that was inside that seed. Be very careful. You should believe, of course, in the gospel of recovery, but know what you are recovering. Why am I saying so? Andrew Womack explained that there are times God will just bring hand and scatter better relationship. You think the relationship is a good one? God said no. God said no, I'm destroying this relationship entirely. If you don't understand the spirit, this real spirit will be recovered, you will think that it is when you are back and the papa is prophesying over you. No, God said, the age of prophesying over you is past. You are grown now. You should be the one prophesying over people so that they can grow. Then after a while, you two leave them alone, let them go. I dare to say, a lot of churches, they don't know how to manage their branches. Yes. There are few denominations I've seen, I just want to mention names, that they allow the branch pastor to be. A lot from the headquarters, they want to tell you what to. In fact, some even send you cassette to play. Leave the pastor of such churches for, you know, engineers, bankers, lecturers, doctors, you know what I'm saying? Mothers, you know, architects, nurses, builders, all kinds of professions apart from preachers. Because you cannot be a preacher, you come to church on Sunday and say, praise the Lord, today we are going to preach on John chapter 5. Give me the tape, put it on, then you go sit down. God will soon give you injury. Yes, leave it to those who are not called to ministry. There are a lot of people who are passing these days are not called to ministry. We thank God for them. People are like, they need tapes, they need cassettes, CDs. Let him send it, let the people queue up and listen to it. You hear me say it's bad? But just if you're a preacher, I'm warning you, that's all I've said. If you're the deacon of the church, praise the Lord. Somebody, let us jump to there and praise the Lord because God is about to do something great. Give me the cassette. You put her inside. All of now, go sit down. It is the will of God. But you ain't going to help Pastor Van keep slotting in cassette. What am I, a technician? Are you getting my point? There are many people who are calling to the ministry of technician. Amen? Amen? Let them be slotting the cassette. But you know some people, because of salary. Because of salary. Better go to your home house fellowship. If the official one is on Tuesday, do one on Wednesday. After a while, just tell the house fellowship people, say, well, the Lord has called me to leave them. Because you have to preach, otherwise you go in jail. You know what I'm telling you? You have to. You have to. You are called to do this job. You can't just sit down there. You don't like the seed. You didn't let the seed break because of salary. There are very few pastors I've seen who allow those branch people to be. Some will scrutinize. Who are the deacons? And how do you manage? By the time they are through with you, you should know you are not a man. You're not called. And honestly, if you're called, you're unfaithful. You can't even think. Your brain is in Lagos. Or maybe it's Abuja, your headquarters is. Or Kaduna, whatever. Your brain is not here. Your brain is somewhere else. And I'm going to tell you that it's humility. Listen, my son is humble, amen, for now. If in 20 years' time, he still shows his degree of humility, I'll kick him out of my house. Think about it now. At the age of 8, fine, I like this humility. Daddy says, everybody go and sleep. It's a good time to sleep, isn't it? But he will realize that all the years that I was telling him to go and sleep, nobody told me when to sleep. It doesn't cross the mind of my children to say that, but you are not sleeping. No, I'm sure maybe they thought about it some time ago. They realized it's not good. But I have a very ready answer. But daddy, you are not sleeping now. I said, because I am the daddy. What are you? Because it's my daughter that normally has the kind of mouth to see such things. And I tell you, you are the daughter. I am the daddy. And this is your mommy. When you become somebody else's mommy, you tell them when to sleep. For now, I tell you when to sleep, when to wake up. There's no democracy. You never voted me. I'm campaigning for daddy. You woke up one day, I was the daddy. So some of these, they are good for a while. After a while, the seed has to die. So that the spirit can what? Be released. But my message today, maybe I'll complete next time. Like I said, I don't want to keep us for too long. Is to let you know that you shouldn't lose heart when that seed dies. Some say, hey, there's no covering over your head again. Be very careful with this covering doctrine. The head of every man is what? Christ. We look at that from two ways. There's a way Paul explained about marriage relationship, but there's something about maturity there also. That when you get to a level in life, stop fooling yourself that this is a covering over. Some of those covering doctrines are okay for children. Our papa is a covering over our head. Have you ever heard me say that kind of thing? There are things I will say that when I get home, my ear will swell. And I will know that the Lord slapped me while I was saying it. I just didn't feel it when he did it. I don't say such things. It may sound proud, boastful. It may sound like pride, but it's not. You read through the scriptures, you don't see it. That's why Jesus warned, call no man your father. You have to be careful when you're uttering some words. Like I was preaching somewhere today, I said, I don't want anybody to sin. They will not use me as temptation for the person. David sinned. 70,000 people died to tempt David, to judge David. David carried the ark wrongly. Who died? Uzzah. Job was being tempted. His children died. His servants died. People with wives and children, they died. And they said it's temptation for Job. There was no scripture about the mourning in those families. I said, and Job did not curse God. If I curse God, I ain't die. You're getting what I'm not explaining now. I'm not saying you should have caught, but I'm just trying to say that. The men who died, we're not even discussing them. What does that tell you? They were like property to Job. Yes? So when God killed a man, he said, Job is being tempted. What about the man's wife? You are getting my logic. That's why I'm very careful. And they do humility. Yes. You know, our father and the Lord is the one covering us. So that tomorrow when he lies, God will stop me to punish him. Hey, me, I'm careful. I'm very careful. I've told you. I've told the Lord, please, in Jesus' name, when I sin, me personally, handle me. But please, don't handle me because somebody else committed. Are you getting my point? Be very careful. There's what is called maturity. That's what I'm trying to explain. I'm not saying, you see, I told you that life has what? Stages. And the stage of blessing is good. A man is covering you, prophesying over your head. A time comes when a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his ministry. And the two of them shall become one assignment. Because not only wife, you can become joined to your mission in life. You think it's only wife you're joined to? There are times you leave your spiritual father, you know what I'm saying, and be joined to your spiritual wife, which is your ministry. And two of you become one mission in life, one assignment. And if you don't do it, God will help you scatter it. And when it does, that's what I'm saying. Don't be angry. It's to crack open that seed so that you can manifest. First, he took you. Then, he blessed you. Then, the time came, you had to be broken. Why? So as to be able to give you. So as to be able to give you as a blessing to the nations of the earth. I remember those days. When Church of God Mission, I think it's a proper time to give that story now. It was a big ministry there and there. Something happened. Now, please, I'm not trying to analyze who was wrong, who was right. The men did not. Those guys were well trained. You never heard Omobude or Ayodeji Jafo speak a word against Archbishop Benson Idahosa. Not one word. Some wicked satans that they call pressmen went to meet Ayo in the heat of the crisis. Reverend Richard Jaffo, Kineko. I still remember all he ever said was that Archbishop Benson Idahosa is a father to us all. He's a man we have immense respect for. And I just we just have to go our, you know, just say something like that. And that was the end. Never said anything. You know, pressmen, they go, they drill you, talk. They want to put headline. Pastor Richard Jaffo calls Archbishop names. They will now print all the names that I did not even say. None of them said the word. Simeon Oka, Omobude, Richard Jaffo, none of them said anything. But this is the point I'm making. Many of us don't know they all were pastors in Church of God Mission. The first time I first heard of Ayo Richard Jaffo, he was still a pastor of Church of God Mission Warri. Are you getting my point? If any one of you calls me in another many years, say, praise God. Pastor, I just think that before we start this morning, we need you to cover this thing with Agulu. Say, you have not been praying for anybody, have you? Bless that thing and come and inform me. I'm serious. Let me give one practical one. If you want to do naming, I can come. We join hands. But now you go bless your pekino. Just in case you did not know, the greatest blessing your wife will receive is from your mouth. Guys, in case you have never done it, if you are married, go home now. Tell your wife, come out, kneel down here. I'm a pastor too. Come out your jacket. Do like the pastor that came to church a few days ago. Say, I don't have oil, I have water. Go to the fridge, bring out the bottle of water, anoint your wife. The man said, Jesus walked on water. He didn't walk on oil. So he uses water to anoint people. And the same result, amen, is diversity of manifestations. Yes, the greatest blessing you'll ever give your wife is from your mouth. The moment you take a wife, your father can pray for them. That one is wishful thinking, amen. Your father can, her father can pray for her and I wish. Once she becomes your wife, all that one, where pastor they talk for church, where pastor Bang go talk. That one, I hope it's agreement prayer. Agreeing with you. Real blessing is from your mouth. Because you are now a man. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. And she conceived. So I said, Brother Isaac, 20 years, what were you doing? So me, I decided early. Began to wake up in the morning, Father, in the name of God, I entreat you for my wife for my sake. My wife knows. If my wife they do like this, I'm not too happy. I will just look the business way she did do. I know we just put blessing. Ah, she go, you never have that. Ah, forget. At the vex. My wife knows if I say I won't bless that, she will come and say, ah, husband, how far now? I'm the prophet in the house. It's true. But this question, shall a man live? Do you understand my point? I have left, I have cleaved. And we have now one flesh. So I'm the prophet in the house. You marry, you bless your wife. That first day you do that. And after that, periodically you do it. And wives, when your husband wants to do it, receive it. There are different ways you can receive it. But I believe one of the easiest ways to explain that you are receiving is kneel down when he's doing it. Not bless me, hurry, hurry, taxi's waiting. I know one late. Don't be that kind of one when they talk. Show that you are receiving it. Kneel down there. And let him pour forth the blessing. I will leave my message here, but I think there's something I haven't said. So I'll say that one next time. You'll get my point. I don't know exactly what, but something means just reminding there's something I'm supposed to say that I haven't gotten there because of time. What have I said today? All right, I've just explained that, listen, there is a spirit of Isaac. We must make sure that whatever we are doing has that spirit. Are you getting my point? And that once that a time will come, and it comes two ways. Either it comes by something happening without our effort, or we deliberately allow it to die, or whichever we have to allow it to die, or we deliberately kill it. But one way or the other, a time comes in life in which there must be a breaking where you will be taken from your comfort level into the next level. A time comes again that you are the boss. Everything is going on well. Then suddenly God wants to launch you from the place where you are comfortable. And that's something I want to encourage everybody here to start watching out for. You've done your own business in a particular way for a while. All right? You've been going on in that business in a particular way for a while. Then suddenly God says it's time to launch to another level. And usually, yeah, this is one thing I said, yes, I left. I'll finish that one next time. Usually, there comes to you what the Bible calls the fear of death. What if I lose everything? What if it doesn't work out? What if, do you understand my point? The what ifs. That's the next point. We'll connect it next time. What if, what if, what if? Again, courage comes from one thing. If you have served God, that's why you must be sure you are serving God. If you have served God all those days, you have built the spirit of Isaac, don't be afraid of what if. Why? The Isaac can never die. That spirit can't. Please, you must never restrain it from manifesting because of fear. Jesus came to deliver all those who through what? The fear of death were held bondage all their lives. Many of us will never in life go beyond the level we are in right now, though we are comfortable there, because we are afraid of what if. That principle of if I perish, I perish. But remember, we are not bold because we are reckless. We are bold because we know we have the spirit of Isaac. So if I perish, I perish means only the flesh will perish. And God says, don't be afraid of the one that can kill only the flesh. You've gotten my point.